Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about faithfulness. That's the banner of the year. This month, as we lead into Easter, we're bringing in a new theme for this month called People of Purpose. Now, yes, we have done this before, and it is our evangelism month, and this is where we get our community service and Belinda's involved, and we want people to realize the importance of being a people with purpose, as well as Easter's around the corner. One of the most important dates on the Christian calendar is coming up, and we have to be prepared for that. But one thing I want you to know is we're not changing direction, all right? We're not changing direction. We're just going deeper. We're just going deeper in this month because being a people of purpose means we are faithful with our call. Look at your neighbor. They are called. Look at your other neighbor. If it's your spouse, say, are you listening to him? You're listening to him. You see, when Jesus spoke about being faithful with the little, it was never just about preservation. It wasn't about preservation. It was about multiplication. It was about increase. In our terminology, it was about advancing his kingdom. Kingdom expansion. So off the cuff, I want you to not hear to what I am not saying. I am not saying that we need to add more activities. I'm not saying to you, you've got to start a new program. I'm not saying that. You see, activities keep us busy, but purpose keeps us focused. We're a people of purpose. Purpose keeps us focused. I believe that people of purpose is a people. We're a people. A people is a people referring to a number of persons. We are a people of purpose. And I believe that a people of purpose is a people who see their ordinary life as God's strategic assignment. Your life is God's strategic assignment on this planet. And so with that in mind, I've titled today's message, People of Purpose, Making Every Day Supernatural. Making every day supernatural. Like I said, I'm not saying do more things or create more programs. I'm saying we need to, you and I, as the church, we need to seriously look at that which we have, and recognize God wants to use just that. Nothing more, nothing less, just that. Purpose is something we steward. Making every day supernatural. It's not something we chase, purpose we steward. And I've said this before, but I want to reiterate it today. The supernatural is more real than the natural. Chew on that for a little while. The supernatural is more real than the natural. Why? Because Genesis 1:1-3 tells us that God, who is supernatural, created the natural. It's up there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, supernatural, created the natural heavens and earth. Then he said, let there be light, and there was light. So today, I want to unapologetically say that the church, that's you and me, we've missed and we continue to miss the very fact that the supernatural purposes of God are actually hidden inside the everyday. The supernatural purposes of God are actually hidden inside everyday. Every day that comes along, his supernatural purposes are there. They're there. Supernatural is more real than the natural. So what do you think are some of the examples of everydays? Workplaces, gyms, cafes, coffee shops, school runs, buying groceries, cafes, sports clubs, family dinners, neighborhood chats, etc. The everyday in your life is loaded with the supernatural purposes of God waiting to happen. Today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 52 weeks of the year, 365 days of the year. They are all loaded with the supernatural purposes of God just waiting to happen. So then, here's a question. If every ordinary life, which is you and me, is God's strategic assignment, and every day is loaded with the supernatural purpose of God, then the question we need to ask ourselves should not be what new thing must I start, but rather, what has God already placed in my hand? Or, who has God brought on my path? Or, where has God positioned me today for a time and a place such as this? This is really important. It's not, oh, what new program should I start? Or what new, what? No, no, no. Where has God placed me? What has God put in my hand? What is it that I have? You see, because this is the first point I want to highlight. God uses what is already in your hand in every day. I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. We read this in Exodus, Exodus 4. If you've got your Bibles, open your Bibles up there. There's going to be a number of, bring your Bibles, bring your physical Bibles, because we're going to highlight, we're going to underline. In Exodus 4, verses 1 to 5, Moses is standing before the burning bush. God has just called him to confront Pharaoh. But because of Moses' past, he responds with insecurity and doubt. And in verse 1, he says, what if? How many times have you used that word? What if? What, even Moses used it. What if they do not believe me? Hello? Anybody said that before? What if they don't listen to me? And they say, this is Moses, the Lord did not appear to you. Right there, Moses thinks like all of us. Every single one of us at some stage have asked the what if questions. Why? Why did Moses ask this? Because 40 years earlier, he tried to act on his people's behalf. He was rejected. He was ridiculed. And that memory is still there. And the enemy still restricts him because of that. What has happened in your past that is restricting you? The what ifs. What is that what if? But God doesn't agree with him. God doesn't sit back and go, well, actually, Moses, you know, you've got a good point there. He doesn't. Look what he does. He fires straight back at Moses with, what is that in your hand? Underline that word, that. What is that in your hand? A fascinating question. A question that we need to ponder on. I nearly want to suggest that God came with this tone, like, do you realize what is in your hand, Moses? Moses answers, a staff, he replied. I wonder if Moses' tone was a bit like, seriously? This thing? It's just a staff. It's an ordinary, withered, common stick. A staff. Remember, biblically, a staff was a shepherd's stick. A shepherd's stick used to guide the sheep and direct the sheep, stop the sheep from falling into danger, pulling them back, protecting the flock from predators. And even in times when it was long walks, they would actually lean on it for support. But there's something else I want to bring to your attention. In this whole thing, God doesn't give Moses a command to start something new or come up with something new or to try and impress Pharaoh. I mean, really, we're talking about Pharaoh here, okay? Pharaoh would have had it all. He would have been a man that had it all. He actually even had magicians who could replicate signs. God wasn't trying to impress Pharaoh. We've got to understand that. So what was he trying to do? I want to suggest to you today that God was trying to establish authority and build Moses' confidence. Establish authority and build Moses' confidence. So he takes something simple, like a staff, a tool with an ordinary earthly purpose, carried by an ordinary earthly man, but when surrendered, God comes and he transforms it into an instrument of divine power. Ordinary man, ordinary staff, ordinary stick, when surrendered, God transforms it into an instrument of divine power. Look at verse 3. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Stop. He ran from it. This shows his humanity. He ran from the danger of the snake. I mean, my girls in my house, they squeal and run from a little spider. And then the doom comes out, or the spray comes out. Bring me another one. And that poor thing is swimming, backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, you know, the whole thing. But nope. He runs away from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. This is important. So Moses had run away in fear, but God tells him to trust him. And so Moses obeys. He does what God said. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff, underline this, in his hand. Take note. Didn't become a staff on the ground, and then he picked it up. It was a snake. And when he picked it up by the tail, which apparently is the most dangerous part because that thing can swing around and bite you, by the tail, in his hand, it turned back into a staff. In his hand. The moment Moses obeys, the stick becomes a snake, and the snake becomes a staff. Obey. Obedience. Here's my word for you. Obey God in the everyday, even when it seems a little bit risky, and you'll be safe and see your everyday become supernatural. The context is also very important, especially in our world. Exodus 3:1 is context. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Huh? So what's that got to do with it all, JJ? Everything. Moses, in the scripture, it highlights to us, was going about his daily chores. He was going about his business, his normality, his everyday, looking after his father-in-law's sheep, being a good steward of what was entrusted to him. And it's in that ordinary that God comes and meets Moses in the middle of his very ordinary work day. How many times do we allow God to meet us in our work day? He wants to. He wants to. That's his heart. But on top of that, there's more. The very thing that was in Moses' hand, that which he used in the everyday to tend to the sheep, became the instrument God, the supernatural God, used to establish authority amongst his own people and then confront Pharaoh. The staff in his hand wasn't symbolic of a past season. It was part of his present everyday workday. What are you saying, JJ? I'm glad you ask. God wants to use that which is already in your hand, in the everyday you're currently in, to constantly bring about supernatural change. Look at your neighbor. They are agents of change. Now, when I use that word change, everybody shudders because we do not like change, do we? But really, you are an agent of change. The very thing. God wants to use that, which is the very thing in your hand, in your everyday, your current everyday. Not tomorrow, not when you finish Bible college, not when you become holier than thou. No, that's never going to happen. In now, as you are. He wants to use you as you are in your everyday to consistently bring about supernatural change. Oh, great Southland of the Holy Spirit. He needs you to bring the supernatural change so that this becomes the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. This is good preaching. Look at what God says in verse 5. This, underline the word this.
In other words, that which is in your hand, this, he's referring to that which you surrendered, that which you threw down on the ground, that which was transformed into the snake, that this that you picked up and became a staff again, this, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. This is for his own people, to see that God has appeared to him. Their everyday staff that basically confirmed Moses' calling before the Israelites. But it is the same everyday staff that confronts Pharaoh. Dual purpose. Dual purpose. Sometimes it's not just about your workplace. Sometimes it's about you walking in your authority, walking in the gifting that God has given for you so that the others around you know about it. Take note of it. We're not secret agents. Get into that later. The same everyday staff becomes the instrument of plagues over a nation. Look at this. The Nile turned into blood. Plague of frogs. Plague of gnats. Hail, locusts. Do you know that every single one of this, you can go and read this yourself, take a photo, go and read it. Every one of them refer to the staff. Raise your staff. Put your staff on the ground and there will be gnats. Do this with your staff and that will happen. Do that with your, and then, it doesn't even stop there. That same everyday staff that confirmed Moses' calling and was Pharaoh's nightmare, guess what? That same staff becomes the instrument of deliverance as it's used to part the Red Sea. Scripture, Exodus 14, 16. Raise your staff and stretch. It's a word, staff. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Guys, miracle 101. Seas parted. Dry ground. How did that happen? The same staff that Moses had at the burning bush. That same staff that he threw on the ground that became a snake, that he picked up and became a staff again. That is the same staff that was used to deliver a nation on dry ground. You've got to get this. The everyday became supernatural when surrendered into the hands of God. The staff, the everyday staff did not change. The everyday staff did not become this magic wand or impressive. It was still a stick. It was still a stick. But it was part of these supernatural everyday moments because it was surrendered through snake, pick up staff, hit the ground, gnats, raise it up, hail, raise it up, ocean parts, same stuff, same thing in Moses' hand. Are we getting this? So here's my challenge. Church, what staff is in your hand? Staff in inverted commas. Job, business, coaching, leadership, gifting, hospitality. There's a list up there. Sporting club, the team you lead, clients, customers, patients, students, social media platforms. And so we can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. We keep asking, as the church, we keep asking for platforms. We keep asking God for, oh God, just give me a platform. God, just give me a stage. God, just give me the microphone, Lord, and I will change the world. No. You don't need platforms. We've got to stop asking for platforms because God keeps pointing to what we already hold in. As he did in Moses' day, he's saying to you and I, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? We keep on asking for opportunities. But here's my second point. God wants you to know that He has already placed you strategically. There where you are, He has placed you strategically. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. This is scripture, 1 Corinthians 7:17. Passion Translation says, may all believers continue to live the wonderful lives God has called them to live. You are all called to live wonderful lives. But here it comes. According to what He assigns for each person. Whoa. I don't know what I'm doing. Guess what? He's already assigned something for you. There where you are, He's assigned for you. The Greek word for assigns is emerison, which means to apportion, to distribute, to allot a share. Assigned the life God has apportioned to you, your context, your relationship, your season. It's the ground God has placed under your feet. Under your feet. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go looking for it. You just got to look. What have I got? Where am I living? Where am I living? You see, Paul's not telling the believers in this scripture to escape their context. No, no, no. He's telling them to live missionally within it. Live missionally within it. You're not accidentally placed. Your street that you live in is not random. Your workplace is not, I hate my job. Maybe you need to ask God, God, can you show me why am I here? Maybe it's one conversation. Just one. He's waiting for you to have that one conversation, and then you're out of there. Food for thought. Food for thought. The gym that you go to, it's not coming. I don't go to a gym, but so what do I do in that place? I don't know. I don't know. I go to a coffee shop. That's my gym, all right? Coffee, caffeine. The gym is not coincidental. I think you get the idea here. You are already supernaturally positioned. The facts are this. The early church, you can go and read this in the book of Acts, did not begin with buildings and a steeple and an organ and a band and comfy chairs and air conditioning. The church did not start like that. The early church started in everyday spaces, down at the markets, along the road, in conversations. It happened there. It did not necessarily happen in buildings, comfortable buildings. It happened in prisons, riversides. Wherever they went, it happened. Everyday spaces and places became supernatural ground. Great biblical example of this is Acts 3. Peter and John simply go into the temple for prayer. It's their daily routine. Every day they go down. And they walk past this gate. Gate of beautiful. They walk past this dude that's sitting there. He's begging again and again and again. Every day they walk past him. He's known as a crippled man. He's been crippled since birth. But this day, it's another ordinary day, but they're spiritually in tune, they're spiritually aware, and their normal commute becomes a miracle moment. Their everyday becomes supernatural. In Acts 3, verse 6, Peter said, I don't have money. He's talking to the crippled man, but the crippled man's begging. He wants money. He goes, I don't have money. Look at this. He did not try to give him what he did not have. Peter did not try and give him what he did not have. And actually, he did not give the crippled man what the crippled man wanted. But he gave him something else. A supernatural encounter. He gave him that which God was longing for Peter or somebody to give him. A supernatural encounter. But I'll give you this, he says. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who knows that? That is supernatural. Stand up and walk. They gave what they had. which was in their hand. It wasn't natural, it was supernatural. And the result was this. Heaven comes and invades earth. The man who was crippled from birth is healed. And Peter holds out his hand, his right hand to the crippled man as he pulled him to his feet. Suddenly, power surged into his crippled ankle. Can you imagine? It's all happening in his ankles and his feet. And the man jumped up. And the man stood there for a moment, stunned. Would you be stunned? Heck, I'd freak out. Stunned. And then he began to walk around. And he went into the temple courts, and Peter and John, and he leapt for joy and shouted praise to God. That right there is making every day supernatural. It's not there to just be a good old story. It's there to inspire us. Because what is there is for you and I to also do. Also be. The lesson from this scripture is this. Being a people of purpose does not begin with a sermon, but with availability. Availability. We need to realize we have a staff, inverted commas, in our hands, which has the potential in God's hands to bring transformation to the world we live in. To bring transformation to the school we're in. To bring transformation to the uni we're in. To bring transformation to the business we're in. To bring transformation to the community we're in. Or even the region we're in. Doncaster East or Blackburn North. It has the potential to see revival break out in our own backyard. We do not need a special time or a special calling or a special moment. We just need a surrendered staff. A surrendered staff. A heart that longs to see every day become supernatural. I pray that, that we will be a family that has that heart. It's not just about Belinda and her team. It's about the Numa East family. That mantle that's on her and the team is a mantle that we should all be carrying, because every day is calling to be a supernatural day. So what stops us? What stops you? First thing, fear. Come on, be real. Fear stops you. But even Moses feared. He feared rejection. He feared. He says, what if they do not believe? What if they do not listen to me and say, we fear that they go, oh, they're a little bit weird. Hello, you're already weird. You're a believer. You believe in somebody that you've never seen in your life before. You raise hands to him. You dance before him. You sing to him. In the normal eyes of the world out there, you're weird. So just, so what? Whatever. One day I'm going to be before the King of Kings. And then we'll say, I wonder who's weird now. Just saying. What if they reject me? How many times haven't you already been rejected? Okay. Jesus was rejected. How are you any better? It sucks. It's ouch. I know. You heard my testimony last week. If you weren't here last week, go listen to the message. We were rejected many times in our journey, but we're still here. And guess what? Couldn't care anymore because I'm walking in my identity. Stuck in. Oh, I don't know if I've got all the answers. You know, I'm not like Pastor JJ. I have not studied theology. And hello? You don't need all the answers. You need an obedient heart. You just need to open this thing. Because of the power of God, the one who raised Jesus, the one who was hovering on the ground, the one when God, the Father said, let there be light, he went, and there was light. That same Holy Spirit was the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Guess where he is right now? Inside you. All you have to, if you're a believer, that's where he is. All you have to do is go, and trust Him. He will lead you. He'll put the words in your mouth. He will be the one that guided you. You see, being a people of purpose is not about having all the answers. It's about bearing faithful witness. Courage is not absence of fear. It is obedience despite it. 2 Timothy 1 verses 7 to 8 says, God has not given us a spirit of, but of love, power, and a. He's a spirit of love. He's a spirit of power. He's a spirit of sound mindedness. That is who the Holy Spirit is, and He resides right here. In every single one who has said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed that, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. We had two people give their lives to Jesus in the first service, and I believe there will be many more that will come. Yeah? Another thing that stops us is wrong assumptions. Wrong assumptions. We say the people's no. This is the thing that I have with our team. This is the thing that I have with my family is don't say no for somebody else. Ask the question. Ask the question. Oh, people don't want to hear, or people are not really interested, or people will be hostile. Oh, you know what? Truth be told, beneath their confidence, they're anxious. Beneath their success, in inverted commas, many are searching. Beneath what appears to be, I have it all together, many are lonely. The Samaritan woman. We know her story. She didn't have a clean record. Not at all. Who would have thought that God would use her? She didn't look like revival material. Yet one conversation led to a village awakening to the truth. Capital T. But JJ, you don't understand. That was Jesus. Yeah, nah, don't use that excuse. Because you know what? Jesus was the person being a person of purpose. What do you mean? He's Jesus, God. No, he was man, and fully God. In that moment, he was sharing from a man. He was the person. If you look at this book, Jesus is the person who made every day be supernatural. He healed the sick, healed the blind. Right? I have been anointed. You've been anointed to do exactly the same. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. It's time. Jesus is the example. His lifestyle is what we are called to replicate. Another thing that stops us is comfort. Comfort is the greatest thief of purpose. Comfort is the greatest thief. We like safe Christianity. We like to have private faith, you know, quiet conviction. We're secret agents of Jesus. You know, nobody knows at work. I just sneak in and I sneak out and I don't, you know. Hold on. Scripture says you are the light of the world. Then it says in verse 16, let your light shine before others. Not when it suits you. Let your light shine before others. Light's not meant to be hidden. We know the story. This week in Young Adults Life Group, we were talking about how can we be faithful to other people. And one of the YAs said, we need to be faithful in shining the light because we are the light to the world. And in that moment, God gives me this picture. He shows me, we said, can you imagine when all these lights are off? Let me tell you, if all these lights are off, it's pitch black in this place. Or all the lights are off. It's pitch black in this place, all right? We're the last people on the earth. There's nobody else out there. Watch too many sci-fi movies. But there's nobody else out there. Okay? Doors are locked. There's no light. But I have a torch. And only I know I have a torch. This is the picture God gave me. But my torch is hidden away. Nobody else knows I have the torch. Do you think it's not selfish of me to put the torch on and shine the light with the rest in this room? Same deal. Same deal at your workplace. Same deal wherever you are. All of us are torchbearers. But we choose not to turn it on because it might inconvenience us. It might make us uncomfortable. We might have to get out of a comfortable bubble. Hello, hello, hello. We are called to faithfulness. We are not called to comfort. We are called to faithfulness. So here, I'm ending this. How do we live intentionally as a people of purpose? Number one, ask. What do you mean ask? Pray. Who's your helper? Holy Spirit. Pray. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Holy Spirit, make me aware. Holy Spirit, help me to surrender what I have. You see, people of purpose begins in prayer, not in pressure. Second thing, identify your circle. Now, I had a card on here. Identify your circle. You all would have got this card in your seat. It's not for you to use as a fan. It's for you to write three names on. Okay, so you've all got one. If you haven't got one, pick one up. You write three names on. I'll tell you why you're going to write three names. They can be three neighbors. They can be three work colleagues, two work colleagues and a neighbor. They can be two parents. They can be extended family members. Write the names down. Why? Because you're going to pray over them. All right? You're going to pray over them. You're going to pray consistently. You're going to ask God to soften their hearts. You're not going to preach the gospel at them. You're going to ask Holy Spirit to do something in them. You're going to ask Holy Spirit to do something in you, to give you divine opportunities, to give you the courage, to give you the sensitivity so that you can be the everyday supernatural in their life. And then we lead them to salvation. It's not salvation first. Sometimes we have to walk the road with him for a time. So take this home, write it down. For the next month, this is your task, is to pray over those three names. Third thing, use what you have. I don't have a theology degree, but you have a testimony. You're kind. You might be hospitable. You may be a good listener. People are not good listeners nowadays. They're good. They want to fix everything. I'm guilty of that one. Ask Paulina. Have a listening ear. And then, everyday obedience is the fourth one. Don't overcomplicate being a person of purpose. Listen to the prompting of Holy Spirit and do. Just be obedient. How? Invite somebody for coffee. Take them out. Pay for a bunch of flowers and a word of encouragement and drop it off at their door. Listen to them. Don't try and fix them. Listen to them. Share how God helped you. This week I had somebody who's really faced a very, very challenging time. I must have sat for about an hour and a half just listening as they just poured out their heart. Just listened. That's a miracle, by the way, that I just listened. But I prayed, Lord, help me to just listen. And I just listened. Thank you, Jesus. It's possible. If it's possible for me, it's possible for you. It's possible for you. Share with them how God helped you. Love consistently. Then invite them into community. Invite them. Then, only after you've done a couple of these things, invite them into your life group because it's a safe space. And then lastly, bring them to a Sunday gathering. Take note, it's last. Not first, it's last. Bring them to Sunday gathering, where there's a bigger community. This is us making every day supernatural. So I conclude. The moment Moses surrendered what was in his hand, it stopped being natural and became an instrument in the hand of God. And supernatural outcomes happened. The key, surrender. The moment of transformation happened at the point of surrender. Your workplace becomes holy ground when surrendered. Your home becomes a mission field when surrendered. Your routine becomes a revival soil when surrendered. You become a supernatural instrument when you surrender. What am I saying? God does not need more programs. He needs surrendered people. So here's my challenge, second challenge, most important challenge for this whole month. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Find out what's in your hand. Determine what's in your hand. We've done a list. And then ask yourself, will I place this in His daily. Daily. Not tomorrow, not now, daily. Lord, this is in my hand. I give it to you today. Use it. Bring those opportunities. Bring opportunities for divine conversations. Something I pray every day. Divine conversations, divine appointments, divine encounters, divine favor. I pray it every morning up there. I don't even pray it. I thank God. God, I thank you for divine opportunities. I thank you for divine conversations. I thank you, Father, for divine encounters. And I thank you that I walk in your divine favor. Now I'm adding you one. Thank you that my everyday is supernatural. That's my prayer.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.